You're listening to the Training Dummies. With Hen.
I'll look up the Henlock spell. And let's say it's a dot that lasts for 10 seconds. The
34 accurate.
And Hotbox.
You can actually feel the tip.
Just the tip?
Greetings and welcome to episode number 83 of The Training Dummies, recorded for you on February 18th, 2015. My name is Rob, and I am being faithful to my Brewmaster Monk. Faithful. Because it's the best class ever. And with me this evening is my bro host, all the way from the Lich King's backyard, Mr. Shamlock, I think we decided.
Yeah, that works. Shamlock. That's fair. That's fair.
And, you know, every once in a while we talk about how somebody so epic comes along that they literally drag us by our hair through raid content. And tonight we've been fortunate enough to have one of our good friends join us to talk about something that we know nothing about, because I play the best class in game and not this other class. But Ali the Mage Tank is here to straighten us out about Protection Warriors, which is really great because I know the Prot Warrior game is strong right now. And so I should probably actually consider it, since the best class ever is pretty hard to play. Maybe I should look at warrior tanking. But let's get a round of applause for Ali. Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Glad to be here.
I would say that's the chat room, but we're not live streaming tonight, so.
No, oh, yeah.
They are chatting by proxy, everybody in
yes.
in their homes. So we'll just run through our get to know you a little bit questions, and then you can set us straight or set me straight, and maybe even clear the air for Hind, because I know he's dying to tank more.
Yeah, lots. Lots.
So, gotta kill Kilrag.
You have to kill him the first time in order to kill him again, right?
I killed him once.
You killed him
once. Yeah, that's exactly it.
We can get into that, though. So, what, where, how, when did you start playing Warcraft, and what would you say is your current main?
Back in college, I was just chatting with some friends on the chem floor, and someone was writing, and I look over his shoulder, and there he was talking about, he was sending in a suggestion to talk about turning XP off, so you could just be on playing your level 29 rogue and twink it away.
Nice.
It's actually a feature that went into the game, now that I think about it. He got me coming playing. That was probably a month or two after Wrath of the Lich King released. So I quickly leveled up I started playing in December, and by January I was stepping foot into Nax 80 or Nax 10, not 80. There's no 80 man rates.
maybe. I don't know. Wildstar's doing.
Oh, yeah. Well, they were at one point. I was playing a priest at the time, and I was healing. But through some crazy, strange twists of events, I am now tanking pretty much hardcore. Last expansion, I tanked all but the first raid tier. And then I've been tanking ever since, between my warrior and my monk. Right now, mainly my warrior, and pushed through six heroic fights on in Blackrock Foundry.
Oh, nice.
And kind of going through. Yeah.
Already, huh? That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So I say that because we haven't seen it yet.
Hey, no, no, wait. I killed three bosses in LFR last night.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
I'll expect you to carry us on shoulders here.
So, what is the origin of the name Ali or Aleva?
Well, actually, originally it came just hitting that random name button generator, and I found something that I like, and I was looking through an Elvish name generator and put two and two together and came up with Alaiva, A-L-L-A-I-V-A, and that was my priest and still the name of my priest as I carry it around. And when I made a monk, I was going to be the melee, and so I changed the I to a Y and just kind of stuck with it. Changing variations between casters and melee ever since. So, I mean, right now my warrior has an H at the end, but preserving the namesake as much as I could.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Is the H silent?
The H is silent right now.
H, I guess, if our friends across the pond would say. H. What's your most fond memory in or because of Warcraft?
Well, my best friend and a long time best friend, we met in that first guild that I joined, Raiding X10, and we've been friends ever since. Saw him and wife get married this past summer, and so we've been hanging out ever since. He's over in, actually we attended BlizzCon as well last year. He's over in Alaska, but you know, I'm over on the East Coast, or sort of. So it's hard to, you know, get in touch, but, you know, because of WoW and, you know, even the Blizzard games were able to stick there. So that's the most lasting memory. But I was really excited the first time I got a Realm First achievement for Heroic Ragnaros in Firelands, and that was really cool to be a part of. And that was, like, US top 50 as well. So
oh, man, that's
exciting.
Resistant.
Yeah.
I'm going to break this
serious
button tonight.
since then I've, you know, significantly backed off in that kind of progression tier, but you know, you're at college, you can raid 3-4 nights and you know, nobody gives a care. Now I'm home and I'm living with my fiance, so you know, two nights of raiding is more acceptable.
Two nights, man, you guys are serious.
I know,
totally.
So serious.
That's at least twice as much as us. Okay, I'm changing up this last question here, so I'm throwing in an audible. Garrisons.
Audible decision.
Garrisons. Mandatory or optional?
Oh, so mandatory. You can't really do any progression raiding without having a garrison running full force. I mean, the less progressed you are and the less desire to have, you know, to keep pace with everything, you're going to find that less necessary. Although, you know, if you're going to craft anything, you will need the garrison because, you know, making any of those mats 10 at a time, 10 a day at a time is going to take forever to, you know, build anything of worth. Mm-hmm. So getting those extra, you know, 4 hours each, you get about six a day, 12 with your follower bonus. So you're effectively your you know, generation rate of those mats every week, day. So it's a lot more necessary than you think, and it's really frustrating because, you know, they say how optional it was and is, but it's pretty mandatory.
There's a lot of weird negative feedback around garrisons right now, and I don't know. I don't want to perpetuate that at all. But
I would say the followers is a cool. It's a fun little meta game to play, you know. Which ones do you like? Which ones do you like? I'm building my Blood Elf army.
Nice.
It's a very slow go.
Nice.
Blood Elf Master Race.
Blood Elf Master Race.
Nice.
So I am asking this one. I guess we talked about it a little bit, huh?
We can just carry on.
I don't know what questions I'm asking.
All right.
So, let's see here. What have you been up to? I know it's the bad question, but what are you taking pride in this week?
This week played some Heroes of the Storm, trying to play that with some friends just to get away from WoW. Sometimes it does feel like a chore, but I've been leveling my monk. I actually had a friend power level me through a couple levels the other day, trying to get that up. Guilds wanting to get me tanking on the monk just because of how strong they are in Blackrock Foundry. But besides that, of course, raiding heroic Blackrock Foundry when we can and seeing how many bosses we can push through. We did get two new boss kills with Korag and Operator last week, so hopefully pushing that and going on to, I think we're going to Maidens next. So it'll be good times.
Please.
Our Maidens or Orgarger? I can't remember which.
I don't know what you're going to be working on next.
I don't know either.
Well, a while back on Twitter, I kind of put out this this call to arms, I guess. I don't know what the best way to put it is, but I basically asked for somebody to kind of help me look at what I was doing as a monk tank and where I could improve and kind of just get better. And Allie was kind enough to step in and take a look at some logs and just really helped me to look at some of the areas where I was failing a lot. And
places where there's room for improvement, I'll call it.
It's very tactful.
Yeah, so that was really cool, which led me to being put in touch with a couple of members of the monk community that also, you know, come through some of my logs and exchanged some emails and went back and forth. And apart from Allie carrying us via the warrior to some boss kills, has really just kind of made me want to up my game again. And just, you know, even though we're a very casual guild, that doesn't mean I can't play to my own personal best level. So I have really just been working on trying to be a better tank again. And, you know, a monk tank is, even for a seasoned person, I think a monk tank is probably, I don't want to say the most challenging of the five, but
there's
maybe
quite a bit of micromanaging, which makes it a little more difficult. I put it up with in the range with DK tanks, or with how much you have to micromanage to really be on your A game. But
which is funny, because I'm not really the kind of person who wants to micromanage things, but the Brewmaster monk is just so freaking fun.
It is.
That it's like, it's just a riot. So I guess my love for that, plus, you know, just want to be better, you know, personally, is kind of helped me try to take things up a notch. So that's what I've been working on. And I went and found a Reddit guide to find a bunch of followers that I didn't have before. So I went out and got like a whole ton of garrison followers that I didn't have. And now I'm spending way more resources than I ever wanted to trying to get them leveled up. So I got that going for me.
But can I get them to 660 soon?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. The war mill is strong.
The war mill and the salvage yard are very strong.
Mm-hmm. Yep, those are the two that are kind of helping me. I guess the catch up mechanism, so to speak. But
oh, for sure.
Yeah. And what about you, man?
Aside from raid, which went very well this past week, we are 1 of 7 heroic Kargath, although we've killed him 3 times now. And
so three of seven.
With Allie tanking, we're 6 of 7 normal. Without Allie tanking, we're 5 of 7 normal. And that continued this past week. And we also started using Suicide Kings for loot. Personally, I think it went fantastic. I'm glad we switched to that. And
I have to agree 100%.
Because you got a weapon finally. We used to use Suicide Kings. Oh, we used that all through Dragon Soul too, didn't we?
Yep.
Dragon Soul, and then we used it in Mogoshan, and up until whatever the bug instance is, I can't hit Terrace. I think it was Terrace? No.
Heart of Fear.
Anyway, when our raid team fell apart, and then when it came back together, we needed to cross realm. So that was Flex, and Flex at that time, it had personal, what is now personal loot, so we didn't need a loot system. And then once it went to normal, we just kept using that. We just went need. That was it. Need for main, greed for off, and don't disenchant. So we never really needed it. But now that we're back into raiding again with a pretty regular group.
Trying to actually gear.
Yeah, personal just wasn't working for... I'm not going to say it wasn't working for everyone. I'm going to say it wasn't working for Rob.
Gosh, you aren't kidding, man.
You know, because my Warlock has been gearing up way quicker. For even the first probably 4 weeks, I had my Shaman in there. And now my Warlock is 655, whereas you're not even close to that. And, you know, part of that is I was getting better drops from personal loot than you were. So it's just... It wasn't working out for us, so we decided to try out Suicide Kings this past week. It went really well, and we're going to continue using that. As well, we have we're a very casual group, and so we have other friends come in at certain times. And Suicide Kings, the beauty of it is that we reward the players who are there every week, yet still allow these other players that come in just occasionally to still get loot. So... I'm glad we switched to that, and I'm looking forward to raid again this week.
Cool. That's cool.
It is.
It's cool when you upgrade from a 630 weapon to a 655 weapon.
That is cool.
I went from a 645 weapon and finally got a 680 the other week.
They make 680 gear? I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Wow,
oh, yeah.
That's beautiful.
All right.
Yeah, black is a full 10 items level jump.
Nice. Okay, well, let's get into why you're here after this.
This is Anne from Blizzard Watch, and you're listening to The Training Dummies with Hend and Rob.
So we
Blizzard Watch.
Yes. We're talking Protection Warriors tonight. So I have a confession. I don't even have a warrior. Right now?
What?
Okay.
There, pause this and go.
This perpetuates that myth, but how you know someone played in vanilla is because they'll tell you. So anyway, vanilla, when I played then, a warrior was actually the third class I ever rolled. My shaman, which is still my main. My warlock was my second, which is now my co-main. And a warrior. And I got the warrior to level 10? Yeah, level 10, and that's it.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And I can't remember why I deleted it. I needed the spot for some character, but I don't even remember what now. I think it was a hunter. Was it a hunter?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, hunter of all things.
Yeah, I know. I was doing Recruiter Friend with my son. That's why. And he wanted to do hunters, so I'm like, okay, I'll roll a hunter with you. We'll do hunters together. So that's why I deleted my warrior then. He was only level 10. It had been level 10 for, I don't know, 5 years already. So I'll try and jump in with some insightful questions like I did with the rune last week.
Yeah, but that was legit.
don't expect much.
Hey, yeah, you can creep Taz's armory or my warrior.
I might be doing that already.
Awesome.
Wow.
So anyway, let's start with stats. What are the stats you want to look for a protection warrior?
There's two different ideas going out there, but I think most people are following the later. Of course, as a tank, bonus armor is your, you know, king, lord almighty of stats. It gives you both attack power and it gives you defensive value with reduced damage intake from all physical abilities, which High Maul and Blackrock Foundry are littered with physical damage and very little magic damage. So all the armor you can get is great.
I like hearing that. Seems how I can unlock.
Yes, and we can touch on that with later as well. But after that, if you want to go more of an offensive level, you're going to be aiming more towards crit, because of course crit's going to increase your damage. It's going to increase your Enrage procs, which is a flat 10% increase during the duration. So just overall, it's just a pure damage increase. After that, haste and mastery are sometimes flip back and forth. The more haste you get, of course, nowadays you're going to reduce the cooldown on revenge and shield slam, which are your big damage dealers. And so the faster you can get those to come off cooldown is better. Unfortunately, with how, or well, I guess fortunately, with how warriors work, you have a lot of procs that reset your timer on revenge and shield slam. So it is noticeable with the haste decrease. You will see those come up sooner, but a lot of times, most of your procs are going to be, or most of the times that they'll reset are going to be based off of procs rather than haste. So mastery kind of pulls ahead, which is why. For defensively, it's ahead. It increases your block chance and, of course, your crit block chance, as well as increasing your attack power by a certain percentage. But in addition to crit's offensive values, you also have it increasing your parry chance. You know, 1% crit is 1% parry, so it's not a bad thing to have, you know, from a defensive point of view either. I lump versatility with crit defensively, just because it is a flat damage reduction, which is especially good for magic. Anything where there's a little more magic fights, you'll want to, if you have the extra gear pieces and stuff, you know, switch out from versatility for the reduced overall damage. Multi-strike, some people put that higher, some people put it lower. I put it lower just because the heal that it procs from Blood Craze is insignificant and just isn't consistent in ticks. So I throw that towards the bottom, even offensively. It's nice for extra damage, but you're going to be sacrificing so much more defensive value on multi-strike. So I guess overcap. Defensively, you really want bonus armor, of course, mastery, and then crit and versatility. You want to stay away from haste to multi-strike as much as possible. Not something you could do in the Heimal gear, but with Blackrock Foundry gear, you're able to just run away from those two stats. You know, for more of an offensive value, crit, mastery, haste, all really good. Versatility, pretty good. And multi-strike, and it's somewhat good. But right now, with how hard bosses hit in Blackrock Foundry, you definitely want to go defensively, even for monks, even for every tank that I've talked to is really stepping back and making sure that they're surviving the hits, which is something cool to see. But once you know you start surviving those hits, you'll be going back for the offensive value, because once you're surviving and you're not taking huge spikes of damage, your job is to be that, you know, extra damage at the bottom of the list and push out as much as you can. So
I heard somebody describe versatility. One of our guildies this week described versatility as, it's you, only better.
Yes, it is. It's a flat damage increase, a flat healing increase, and a flat damage reduction. And it's just meh on most accounts.
Very compelling.
Great stat to add in.
Yeah.
I want my dodge and parry back.
Seriously.
Nice.
That's awesome, because I think we're seeing a theme with tanks across the board now, that it's either there seems to be two classes or two schools of approaching it, and then one's more of a survivability and the other's a little more damage output. So it looks like warriors are also falling under that same umbrella.
Yeah, I would say every tank is going to be under that umbrella, and your net worth is really how much damage can you put out while taking as little damage as possible, and that's, or as taking as much damage as your healers will allow you to take.
I don't know. We have a healer that loves to allow people to take damage.
All right.
It's not Hind either.
Yeah, I know. I quit healing. Except when I need to. Okay,
that's what we're telling everyone.
Let's go through the talents then. What we usually like to do is go through each tier of talents and you know, which is the main one you pick, and other situations where the other ones might come in handy.
Okay. Sorry. I guess we'll start off with the first tier, of course, level 15. You have your three talents are Juggernaut, Double Time, and Warbringer. Unless you're PvP, there's no reason to ever pick Warbringer. It's just a stun. And it's just very lackluster in PvP, or PvE. If you ever need to really stun it, there's some other stun that your raid can put out there that will, you know, hit that. Personally, I tend to lean more towards Juggernaut. It changes charges, cooldown from 20 seconds down to 12 seconds, which is nice. But sometimes you really need those two charges in a row. So Double Time, every so often I will pick it up. But it only lets you grant rage once every 12 seconds, but sometimes you just need the mobility. You don't need the rage regen. So there is merit to Double Time, mostly on ad heavy fights or fights where you really need to get around. But, you know, default, I typically go for Juggernaut. Just go on to the next one?
Yeah,
any comments?
Level 30. Okay. No, you're good
okay,
to go.
Okay, cool. Level 30. You have three talents of Enraged Regeneration, Second Wind, and Impending Victory. In Mists of Pandaria, Second Wind was incredibly good, especially in PvP when you could get away.
Because it's passive.
It is passive.
Yeah, yeah.
35%, you were just healing yourself constantly. It was really overpowered in PvP, and it was okay in PvE, but just most times tanks were never at that level, so it just it wasn't a worthwhile choice. With the changes in World of Warlords of Draenor, changing it to Leech, it's become even more worthless, and nobody takes it that I know of. It's just the, as right now it's standing at 10% Leech, so 10% of the damage you do is healing. If you're below 35%, you're liable to get a couple, if you take a couple hits, you're dead anyways as a warrior. So it's not a talent that most people will gravitate towards anymore. So it's kind of tossed out.
It wasn't like the kind of the more like the soloing talent, like if you're soloing old raid content stuff, like because it kind of keeps you afloat really because you're not taking that much damage. Or
it keeps you afloat, but eventually if you're down that low, it's a ticking time bomb, honestly.
Yeah.
Even with the buff to the leech, or the change to the leech, it's just a ticking time bomb. It just slows down the ticking rate. I guess leaving the other two talents, I typically go with Enraged Regen, paired up with Last Stand, even though Last Stand is a 3-minute cooldown. If I pair it up with Enraged, Last Stand, you get that increased health pool, healing you for 10% of your health over, and then 20% over 5 seconds is incredibly strong. 30% of your health is huge in this day and age. I see myself popping it a lot, and especially in current raid content, I'm waiting for that cooldown to come back up so I can hit it again. Just because there is quite a bit of healing, especially in my raid. Oops. healers are not as focused on tanks as they should be.
This
so.
Is a safe area. You're allowed to say.
Nobody listens to this.
Nah. but getting that extra heal on a tank is pretty important. So 30% health is significant, and it's constantly in use. And especially with Last Stand, you're just bumping up that heal to be much stronger, as well as giving you more effective health for incoming hits. So it's a good pairing. I can see merit to Impending Victory, but just as a tank, that rage is better spent on, you know, shield block and shield barrier. So, and the heal, yeah, it's 15% every, you know, 30 seconds, but it's just, I don't know, it just seems to me like another a button on the GCD, I'm not sure if it is on the GCD, but it's another button with rage that you're going to be using elsewhere. So I as I said, I typically default to Enrage Regen for tanking. It's a solid one.
Does that one break fears?
No, that is Berserker Rage.
Berserker Rage, that's what.
Which I still use today. It's a great talent. It doesn't grant you as many Yeah, you actually used to macro Berserker Rage in there because it would enrage you, which would increase the heal from enraged regen. But that bonus to enraged regen no longer exists.
Lame.
I know. It was one of those little niche things that if you didn't know about it, you were losing out a significant bit of survivability. Well,
see, you and I have had this conversation before, too, about warriors kind of being, you know, in terms of the different tanking classes, warriors are don't have as many self heals as some of the other ones. So I don't know why they would take away something that was just a bonus to survivability. I don't know.
Well, with the health pools and everything readjustments, they did buff the base standard of enraged regen slightly. So it is really strong. So you didn't need that extra, you know, bonus for just, you know, happenstance being enraged or having Berserker Rage up. And it lets you really just kind of say, okay, well, if I'm, you know, feared or incapacitated briefly or something, I can hit that and come up. Not that it ever happens often, but it gives you that option, more so in PvP, where you don't have to be, oh, I need to hit enrage regen or something, mm-hmm. or I need to get myself enraged. It kind of steps back from that, so... let's see, the level 45 talents now. The three choices for Prot are heavy repercussions, sudden death, and unyielding strikes.
And these have changed so much since.
Yeah, this tier just is completely different from the last expansion. So if you're not, I guess I'll go around in case people aren't aware of it. Heavy repercussions goes with the shield slam glyph that was removed. Which increase, so what it does is it increases the damage of shield slam by 30% when shield block or shield charge is active. That shield charge is more going into gladiator DPS, but anyways, so whenever you have shield block up, which is very often, you know, your shield slams will do 30% damage, and if you can get the proc to reset your shield slam cooldown during that, you can get two of those hits off, and that's a good portion of damage. Because
those shield slams are awesome.
Shield slam is great. Sudden death is the next best for certain. If you're trying to do more damage, sudden death is better. What it does is it increases your auto attack. It makes your auto attack hits have a 10% chance to make your execute cost no rage and be usable on any target regardless of health level. So you can be using it at 90% and just smacking it. But coming from a Prot warrior, it's another GCD that could be used elsewhere, in my opinion, and many others. Whereas heavy repercussions is just a steady increase to damage here and there, which lets you really focus on tanking and finding other ways to maximize your damage. The unyielding strikes, reducing the rage cost of heroic strike by 5 for 5 seconds, stacking up to 6 times, making it cost no rage. It's nice.
Be honest though, how much do you heroic strike though?
Depends on the fight. If I'm not taking a lot of damage, I'm spamming that button so much that you wouldn't see that buff stack up. Other times you could see that buff stack up, and so you're getting a free heroic strike out of there. But you do have, again, the heroic strike procs from, I think, a shield slam. Yes. Crits with shield slam cause your next heroic strike to cost no rage and be a critical strike. And I see that proc enough that it's not a steady enough damage increase that it makes it any worthwhile to pick. Go by and far as heavy repercussions as the best pick.
Awesome.
Going on to the level 60 talents. I typically go with Dragon's Roar. And I rarely change it. There's merit to choosing Shockwave, especially when you have lots of adds constantly, because the reduced cooldown to 20 seconds makes it a lot of damage. I'm hesitant to use it, because right now things do hit hard, and if you get a bunch of adds and you stun them, they're going to reset their swing timers all at the same time, and they're all just going to turn around and say smack and what turns out to be little hits spread over the course of time, you know, ebb and flow of heals and their melee swings can turn into a single hit that...
I never even considered that. I always just loved Shockwave for the control.
It is nice for the control, and if you have a couple adds, it's beautiful because you can sit them down, stun them, and be done with it, which is something that Dragon's Roar doesn't provide. Mm-hmm. But again, being in a 20-man Mythic raid, when you're doing that, we have a couple Warlocks, and we just call for AoE stuns and. When we need that to stun something in place. So it's not something that is needed. And I'll talk about later, but I usually pair Dragon's Roar up with Bloodbath to really put out a bunch of damage really quickly.
Dragon's Roar ignores armor, too?
It ignores armor, and it now, instead of splitting that damage like it used to in Mists of Pandaria, it does the full damage to every target.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes, so as the more targets you get, the more pure damage it goes up to, and if there's an ad fight where there's ads right at the beginning and I smack that thing, or especially on trash, I just streak to the top of the charts and everybody goes, what the heck is going on here? I guess I'll touch on Stormbolt. It's a nice ability, just with 30 seconds
PvP. Down.
It's great for PvP. It's great if you have an ad coming in that you need to stun or take care of or slow down. If a target can't be stunned, it does 4 times the damage. So it is a very strong talent for sure. But with 30-second cooldown, it's a lot of micromanaging and nothing really lines up well with it. So you really can't take it as much of advantage of it as Dragon's Roar, in my opinion. Again, GCDs are something that I like to fill with Devastate to get Shield Synth procs.
I don't know if you already said this or not, and you're just going to have to forgive me because during these kind of episodes, all kinds of stuff just pops into my head from my previous experience with the class. But okay, sure. So Devastate, does that still stack? Is it 3 times, 5 times?
Sunders? No. Sunders are gone.
Okay.
Yeah. They removed that when they were paring down all the silly abilities.
Silly.
It's only silly if it doesn't matter to you, right?
Exactly.
Exactly. No, they took out a bunch of the weakened blows, which, you know, again, tanks only cared about and had to have it up, and every tank had it, and it was just a passive thing. So they pulled out abilities like that. Sunders were something that they took out, reducing armor. Fairy Fire was a sunder. Sunders were sunders, of course.
So it was basically like reverse mitigation.
It was sunder armors increased the damage that targets took by reducing their armor.
Yeah.
So instead, they just removed it and buffed all physical damage to compensate, just so that you wouldn't have that ramp up time, or if a group didn't happen to have a sunder, crazy times now with 20-man raiding, but if you didn't have a sunder in 10-man, it could be possible, so you were losing out on that extra damage that other guilds may have had. So it was just one of those needless debuffs that they felt was just taking up space on a boss's debuff bar. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so sunders are gone, so there's nothing. Devastate is purely just your filler. If you have nothing else to hit, you're hitting Devastate.
It costs no rage.
It only requires a shield, which is kind of silly because you're hitting something. I don't know. So it costs no rage, it's just a filler damage, and it has a 30% chance to proc Shield Slam, which will also increase its regen by 5. So it's something that you should be hitting anytime there's nothing else important to hit, which is, it's fairly common. So yeah, it's just, it's your main filler, like Tiger Palm is for monks. I don't know the other classes well enough to know their fillers.
Tiger Palm gives you that buff. It actually puts a buff on you, though. So
it does. You have to have it up, but if you're sitting there with, you know, about 50 energy, you're not going to want to hit another jab or something.
Yeah.
You don't want to pull that energy and pull the chi enough, so you're just kind of chilling and just Bamming Tiger Palm to fill GCDs increases your damage done and gives you the buff. So there's, and it doesn't cost anything. A free button is always good to hit when there's nothing else to do.
Absolutely, a free button is awesome, so especially in this kind of era of resource management, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And for teams, it's all turned into pooling. How much of your resource can you hold on to until you need to use it up? So,
are you using any sort of? I guess we can cover this later, but that's not how my brain works. Are you using any sort of add-ons or anything to track your rage or?
Yeah, I have a full weak aura setup that tracks revenge, that's cooldown, shield slam, it's cooldown, and highlights when they proc. It monitors my, we're kind of interjecting talents, but it picks up on, it shows the icon for my level 60 talent of choice and marks the cooldown on that and flashes when it comes available. Also picks up on shield wall when I've used it. It shows how much remaining times on it, and after that expires, it shows the remaining cooldown. So it tracks a bunch of things. One of the things on that list is my rage bar. One of the glyphs that you can choose increases it by 20. So it goes 0 to 120 and shows you how much is left over. And that's something I track pretty heavily, because I know that if I have 100 rage, I need to spend it before I hit another revenge or shield slam, so they don't, overcap with rage. And so that's when I'll be hitting a heroic strike, especially if I know a large hitting attack is coming that I need to prepare and mitigate.
So that's huge. If you are rage capping, you're doing it wrong.
If you're rage capping, you're doing it wrong. But if you're finding yourself constantly, low on rage, you're also doing it wrong. It's the ever, how high can you keep your rage without overbuilding it, is what I would call it.
Cool. I don't know how much I derailed us, but I think you were on one of the tiers of talents.
I guess we just finished up the level 60 tiers.
Yes, level 75.
I guess recap on level 60. I choose Dragon's Roar, except when I need the AoE stuns constantly from Shockwave. Level 75 now. This tier is something that I just default to Vigilance. Not that I don't think the other talents could be good and useful, but Vigilance is... it's a targeted 30% cooldown reduction. And then lets me taunt. The taunt is kind of frivolous, but it doesn't put me at risk, which Safeguard could, if I'm low on health and I'm trying to give the tank a 20% reduction and they're getting hit with a huge ability and I just go splat, it doesn't help me. So even though it's a 30-second cooldown versus, Vigilance is 2 minutes, I default to Vigilance. My bear tank, co-tank, is... he loves it when he gets it because it's a cooldown that he doesn't have to monitor, and it's an extra external on him.
Nice.
So of course, I say, well, you get Vigilance, I get Pain Sup from our Disc Priest, and that's kind of how we worked it out. but that's kind of how things have worked between us. I just kind of default to it. Mass Spell Reflect is there, but I haven't seen anything in current content that makes it worthwhile to pick, since it does replace your own spell reflection and it increases the cooldown of it. I just default to Vigilance and call it a day. Your co-tanks will like it, trust me. So let's see here, going down to level 90 talents. Bladestorm is deceptively strong, but I don't like...
Is that good or bad?
It's good in terms of the damage output it puts, but for most part, it doesn't let you build any rage, so when you go into it, you need to be like rage capped. And then, so you can still use your defensive abilities and taunts, but for 6 seconds, you're not doing anything, which could be make or break if you're getting hit pretty hard. So I'm not a fan of it.
I think it's a pretty good go-to for DPS, but I don't...
For DPS, it's a really strong AoE go-to, but for tanking, I prefer Bloodbath. Like Dragon's Roar, it's a 1 minute cooldown, so you pop Bloodbath, and then follow immediately with the Dragon's Roar. That increases.
Right. So they play well together.
And it increases your damage. It takes 30% of the damage that Dragon's Roar and every other ability you do for the next 12 seconds, and puts a dot on the target, and dealing 30% of that damage over 6 seconds. So
that's awesome.
It is a lot of damage. If there's adds, they just melt. They sent me up for the adds on Kargath, and most guilds, I think, sent a druid up there. Druid or monks, just our druid monks DKs, they had a lot of AoE sustained. But for the most part, we got everything grouped up. I hit Bloodbath, Dragon's Roar, and they just melted, and the timer synced up perfectly for when we got up there and grouped everything in. So it was really, it was a lot of damage. I was ranking 98th percentile a couple times, or the high 90s for...
Yeah, but I've seen you tank. And you are awesome, so...
So, that's my go-to talent. Even on single target, it's really strong. And I would just say, and because Prot Warrior AoE damage is significantly weaker than the others, having that in your pocket for when you have a large wave of adds or a constant stream of adds for, you know, at least over 12 seconds, that you can, pump out some serious damage, between Thunderclap and, Dragon's Roar. It's a lot of damage that you can put out. Doesn't mean that it wouldn't work well with Shockwave coming in, but it just doesn't time up with how long Blood Blast lasts. The other option on that tier is Avatar. Increases your damage by 20% for 24 seconds on a 3-minute cooldown. Very strong if you need the burst damage, or the sustained burst damage. But typically, I've just found Bloodbath to be easier. Not that I don't think I could get better usage out of Avatar. It's just instead of constantly swapping talents if I don't really need to. They are changing Avatar into 6.1, and I can get to that later. That makes it much more valuable, but it's not. I don't see myself changing going in the future.
Well, that was one thing that you and even Dagger kind of talked to me about, was my openness or willingness to change talents. I've really tried to embrace it, almost more. Yeah, now I'm having a hard time changing back to some that may be better, because I was just trying to, like, okay, I need to do something different or out of the ordinary, or, you know, just let's try something new. And
well, with all the monk talents that are so niche, that you really need to constantly change them out for tanking. Whereas warriors are, here's something build, and I think for the most part I haven't used any tomes this expansion, just because most situations can be handled with the talents I have. I've changed out for Shockwave a couple times. I've changed out for Stormbolt a couple times. And I think I've swapped over to Avatar once or twice. But for the most part, I just leave it as is. And I haven't seen a real need to do the changing. A monk, on the other hand, you're having AoE adds, or, you know, a burst damage on a boss, or, you know, depending on the damage coming in, is going to change your diffuse magic, dampen harm, or healing elixirs significantly. So, you know, Prot Warrior is pretty easy. I guess with that, the last 100 level 100 tier talents, go-to is pretty much Gladiator's Resolve. A flat 5% damage reduction at all times is incredible for defensive stance. Or an increased 5% reduction. It's very strong, and is very passive. On fights like, Operator, Thromgar, I think is his name. I can't remember the name exactly. The train boss in Blackrock Foundry. with all choo-choo the ads, train. The choo-choo train, with all the ads that are spawning and how manageable the boss's damage is, I found Ravager to be useful because it increases your parry chance by 30% while it's active. And then does a lot of a fair portion of AoE damage at the same time. So you're gaining a DPS boost and a damage reduction at the same time. So it is very useful, and don't neglect it. But for the most cases, you're not going to need that 30% parry is not going to be missed compared to the 5% damage reduction, especially with all the times that you're going to have shield block active and stacking mastery with all the critical blocks you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, talents.
Awesome. That's probably the most diverse section to cover, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. So,
oh gosh, so much goes into it.
And you really boiled it down pretty quickly, so that's kind of nice. But cool. I know that even like I was saying a minute ago, just swapping in and out of stuff, like, I mean, there's just so many options, and I guess it really depends on what tiered difficulty you're working in and what your raid team needs, and, you know, single target, multi target, you know, whatever you're going to be doing. But I don't know, I'm a little jealous that with warriors that you don't have to swap that much.
One spec good, done.
I know it's really not a rotation, but I guess priority, whatever.
Let's do glyphs first.
Glyphs. Glyphs.
Jumping ahead.
I'm looking at the notes.
We'll skip minor because those are all cosmetic, basically. But what are the major glyphs we want to be looking at?
No way. There's a couple minor glyphs that are mandatory.
There's actually not any minor glyphs mandatory for.
No. Thunderclap lightning.
Oh, I must have the lightning visual. Lightning storm.
Oh, blazing mandatory. Trail. Mandatory, for raiding? No, not for PvP so much, because it's easy to keep track of you when you got a trail of fire behind you. But I learned that the hard way a few times. But for raiding, yes, those two are definitely mandatory.
I mean, for my personal flair, I use the Burning Anger. You get set on fire when you're enraged. It's kind of fun. Blazing Trail, just for the, you know, streak of fire that you leave behind, and then of course the Thunder Strike. I do use that one. Don't worry. but otherwise, no, they're all whatever you desire to play with. There's nothing mandatory there. Some classes do have some, but not warriors, not prot warriors at least. As far as major glyphs, the only major, like, 100% you really should have, especially as a tank, is the glyph Unending Rage. Increasing your rage pool to 120 from 100 is crucial. Shield barrier will absorb up to 60. Shield block is a 60 rage cost. So being able to, if you time those perfectly, be able to hit them back-to-back is incredible. Especially when you're really going to be taking a lot of damage from melee swings or even magic attacks that are going to be in succession. You can hit shield barrier followed by another shield barrier when that runs out really quickly, of course. Mandatory, unending rage. After that, you get into what I would call flavor. I've been using Glyph of Cleave. There's a bunch of ad fights, so having Heroic Strike hit two targets is nice, especially when I'm tanking smaller ads. Having the extra damage from Heroic Strike when I'm not taking a lot of damage and don't need to use Shield Block or Shield Barrier, it's a nice damage boost. Personally, I run Glyph of Shield Slam whenever there's a magic debuff that I can dispel.
Mm-hmm.
Dispels a magic effect. And someone was like, why the heck do you have dispels? I'm like, because I'm pro. Yep. Or I just have this ridiculous glyph that is passive and I just forget that I have on the half the time. some people use Death from Above just because they like to use the damage. get the damage bonus from that.
Cools down, reduces
yeah,
the cooldown.
Yeah, reduces the cooldown by 15. But they did they did add a stipulation that it reduces the range of Heroic Leap by 15 yards. And I've considered it for fights like Beastmaster and the train boss, just because of how much you're going to be moving around and looking for that AoE damage from Heroic Leap. But for the most part, it's a good option to have. I considered having Enrage Speed, and I've tossed that in every so often, but the 20% faster on that when you are enraged, if you're not being enraged constantly, it's heads or tails, and you don't make too much of a notice on it. Long charge, something that you, if you really need it, you could do, but there's better options for sure. Rude interruption, if there's a lot of interrupts and you're getting in on the rotation, increasing your damage by 6% for 20 seconds is not anything to be scoffed at. It's a pretty good increase just by, you know, actually doing mechanics. It's a miracle. And then gag order has its niceties by silencing with pummel and heroic throw. You know, being able to heroic throw an ad, that's free casting in the corner, even if it's on, if it's aggro to you. Bringing it in with the group with just a silence is really nice to have on occasion.
That was kind of seem like more of a five-man one, but
it is a five-man. Most of the time I don't have that worry in raids, but it's a five-man raid, five-man instance. But of course, you know, with challenge modes still being, you know, still being an option. And new and hard, it has merit for choice at any point. And then heck, I mean, if you're in a raid and you have really bad silencers, it's nice to have something like that to pull the guys in.
Yeah, totally.
Totally. So I mean, after, as I said, after Unending Rage, you know, pick
whatever
the fight
need.
Dictates
yeah.
or whatever you want. So
right
yeah.
On.
Glyphs done.
Cool.
Okay,
now we can go back.
Now we can do that.
Now we can, back.
Now we can do that. Priorities.
The part where you shout and you hit stuff.
Single target and AoE. Not much of a difference in terms of your damage outputs. You're going to want to be building rage throughout the whole fight, so revenge and shield slam. If you have two targets, of course, revenge is going to be on a higher priority going from damage. But if you have procs, shield slam is going to give you more rage. So it depends on what you want based on damage or defensive. That five rage does add up over time. Don't worry. Otherwise, you're going to be hitting revenge, shield slam. Your talent damage increases, so my macro with Bloodbath and Dragon's Roar, that's going to be either on cooldown or on cooldown permitting an add spawn isn't too close or something.
Right.
But again, that would be more AoE. So single target, Shield Slam, Revenge, Devastate, Heroic Strike if you're going to rage cap or you're not taking damage. AoE, the only thing that you would add in is that as soon as you hit three targets, Thunderclap is the better option over Devastate. And I think once you hit five targets, it's stronger than Shield Slam. And then when you hit, I'm not even sure it ever beats Revenge, but
Dude, I'm not gonna lie, I miss Cataclysm Revenge.
Yeah,
when it hit for full damage on all targets, that was OP.
Yeah, it was really OP. They had to tone that down. So, but yeah, so AoE, you're adding in Thunderclap, but the priority stays the same. You're still building rage. If you're not taking all that much damage, you're going to be filling in heroic strikes whenever you can, especially if you have the Glyph of Cleave. That's a significant portion of damage that you're able to add out. So,
awesome. So, That was, I guess, rotations.
Rotations. There's not much to them. There's really, the gameplay is all in rage regen or rage management for tanking. So.
Can you explain to me, and I probably asked you this before, but exactly the difference between shield block and shield barrier and how and when you're supposed to use?
Well, right now, shield barrier, it's such a wet noodle shield. It's like putting a paper over you and throwing water at somebody. Eventually, that's just going to not work ever. But right now, with all the physical damage, of course, and most of it being, you know, melee swings and large attacks, shield block increases your chance to block by, it increases it to 100%. So every single melee swing that you get and every single special attack swing is going to be blocked. That's for physical damage. So that's 30% damage that is removed. Which is great. And then whenever you crit block, of course, that's 60% damage reduction from every swing. And then with just, I guess, with an idea, with my level of mastery in raid, I'm crit blocking about 50% of the time of my blocks.
Nice.
And so with shield block up, every other, you know, on average, every other swing is reduced by 60%, which is pretty huge. And that just gets better.
So, at this point, is it best to keep up shield block as much as you can?
I would say yes. The caveat is that after you've hit your third shield block, you're now on waiting on its cooldown to come up, just because it is a 12-second recharge, and shield block only lasts 6 seconds. So you hit two charges, and all of a sudden you... Or you hit three, and all of a sudden you have 12 seconds that you're waiting, or 6 seconds that you're waiting for your next one, and you're just constantly waiting at that point. So the caveat there is that if you're really taking a lot of increased damage intake, I find myself alternating between shield block and shield barrier. Yeah, it doesn't absorb a whole lot, especially when you're taking constant smaller hits. Or one large hit out of the blue, but it will stave off. It will eat a good portion of damage, so it makes that shield block still effective, and gives your healers a point where they can, you know, top you up a little bit more.
So I did something a while back, and I'm not even sure this may have been something I had picked up from Hoofy, but I had macroed shield block and with shield slam to just try to keep it up as much as possible. So that's probably not the best idea then.
I would say no, especially because when you're not tanking, you want to make sure that your shield block refreshes to full and you have 2 stacks when you're taunting the boss or whatever that you're going to be doing, so that you can have those, you know, if you're going to be tanking and just taking a bunch of damage, then you want to have those readily available to go. Plus it's, you know, that's 60 rage that if you're not actively tanking and you don't need to, you know, have that rage, you can just dump it into Heroic Strike, and, you know, any damage that you increase is going to reduce the time that it takes to kill a boss, or maybe push into, you know, timing scenarios where you miss a phase or something. So, yeah, being a tank is about taking as little damage as possible, but it's also about putting out as much damage as you can within a certain degree, even if it means you take a little bit more damage. The more damage that you can put out is always beneficial. People scoff at that idea, but honestly, it's important. Damage is important, and I've seen it already this tier where not doing as much tank damage can make or break a kill.
Yeah, absolutely. I know. I mean, half of these fights, when you're getting in there and you're learning the fight, is you're not going to. I mean, you should be realistic with yourself and your team, and you know, okay, going into this pool, we're probably not going to kill this boss. But what I need to do right now is I need to learn what I should be doing and when. Mm-hmm. I think so. for tanks, a lot of that, like for me with Brackenspore, learning that the necrotic breath was something that I needed to save my guard for, or save the purified magic for, or, you know, to save some of those important cooldowns, because, you know, previous expansions have taught us to, you know, with tanking, mitigation depends on you or keeping your cooldowns up as much as you can without really considering mechanics. And this has totally kind of flipped that on its head. So now our job is to learn the fights, learn when you need to mitigate rather than uptime on mitigation. It's more like proper mitigation, I guess.
Yeah, certainly. Any time that you're putting mitigation out, it's always based on, you know, are you actually using that mitigation? I just love it when I hit a shield block and then Korog decides he's going to cast three things. And so now my whole shield block, all the 60 rage has been wasted. And I sit there going,
Yeah, exactly.
So it's always about using... It's great to have the uptime, but if it's being used when you're not tanking, that's wasted... Wasted resources that could be put to use elsewhere. Oh.
Yeah, and most tanks, if not all of them, I believe, you know, the way they're designed now is that you spend that resource on either, you know, mitigation or on damage output. So if you're, you know, if it's not your turn to take the boss, and you're, and you know, if I'm using guard or, you know, shield block or whatever it is, and I'm not the one that's actually holding the boss at that moment, then it's helping mitigate a little bit of damage, but it's really not
getting right, that full benefit out of it. It's not actually being helpful.
Which is just crazy, because to me, that's like a whole new mindset. Like previously coming into this, it was like mitigate everything all the time as much as you can. You know, and that was just like beat into my head, like mitigate. And like now it's like, no, you need to chill out, man. You need to use it. If you use it at the wrong time, it's pointless. You know, you're not doing your team any good. Or, you know, like I died on Brackenspore plenty of times because I just didn't have a cooldown when I needed it.
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, tanking has always been about that. It's always been finding the right timing for things. I mean, even when I was healing in Wrath of the Lich King, we were still laying out some tank cooldowns for when they needed to be used ahead of time. And with how self-sufficient tanks were in Mists of Pandaria, especially monks, that you didn't need that planning as much now. And even especially now in Blackrock Furnace, we're finding that monks are again being a little stronger than they should be. So they're able to ignore mechanics that they shouldn't be ignoring. So it's an interesting dynamic that's coming up, promoting laziness, and you start to see some bad habits being formed that monk meditation was talking about last week, I think. LeBlue was really going on. It's like, oh yeah, I should have hit a cooldown, and then he goes in on his tank and his paladin ult and getting one shot because, you know, he doesn't realize a mechanic was there that his monk was trivializing completely. So it was kind of amusing to hear him talk about that, and, you know, being able to see that in real life.
That's actually hilarious that you know, one class being able to mitigate something completely and somebody else not even realizing it and just taking it to the face.
I guess when we were talking about cooldowns, like I could talk about, I mean, as far as warriors, you have all those cooldowns for monks, but warriors, you have shield block, shield barrier as your active mitigations, but after that, you have Demo Roar. It's 10% cooldown, but it's only on physical damage and only the immediate mobs in your area. It reduces their damage by 10% to you only.
Oh, okay.
And it's on a 1-minute cooldown, so it's nice, but most of the time I don't feel it for the most part.
See, and that's one of those ones I'm always like, all right, when should I use this? When? All right, I got to wait for the right time. Okay, here comes a bunch of, you know, and then you kind of learn that it's like, oh, maybe this one isn't that.
Yeah, when ads spawn, I'll hit it. If it's just a single target fight, if the boss is tanking me, I'll hit it. I just like to keep it on cooldown just because I know it's doing something, but it feels like nothing. because of how weak it does feel. It's useful. 10% is not something to be ignored, but it just feels weak, especially since it doesn't work on magic damage. So it leaves you with one cooldown for magic damage, and that's Shield Wall. 40% reduced damage. That's great, but you get that once every 3 minutes, and then you're like, now what? And so I'm turning to my healers a lot now, asking for pain subs, asking for iron barks, asking for, you know, hands of sacrifices and a clarity of will. I'm like, I'm going to be taking a lot of damage. You know, I need that clarity of will built up and the power word shield. And it's something on my monk that I never had to worry about. Whereas now on my warrior, I have to, you know, constantly ask for externals, and I do need to relearn those things. It's going quickly now.
So you mentioned a couple of times, though, monks being the best class in the game.
I don't think that's what you said.
Or was that me? That I don't know.
That might have been.
They are the best tanks right now.
I'm not seeing that. I'm not seeing that.
I'm seeing it. You're looking at the progression races, and I think Paragons is running double monks. A couple of those guilds are running monk DK, but everybody has a monk in the progression group.
You can't lie, dude. I'm holding my up.
They are doing so much mitigation. I mean, for Hans and Franz, every other tank needs a heavy external cooldown when they do their crippling suplex, and they also need to be topped off. Whereas a monk, if they're not topped off, it still won't kill them, even if they don't have a cooldown up, just because of how shuffle and stagger works.
Yeah, it's
ridiculous. And that's what I was saying. LeBlue was sitting there going, oh, you need a cooldown for that. And he was just getting one shot on his paladin where, mm-hmm. you know, on his monk, he's just, oh, okay. Oh, that's tickled. That's enough.
So I know we could talk about how you may or may not be switching over to play the best class in the game. But so with some of the challenges of warrior tanking, that maybe having to juggle that, the mitigation and the survivability issues, do you still feel like it's strong or viable? I know the whole thing coming into Warlords was, you know, pallies and warriors, you know, the whole sword and board thing was just like mandatory, you know.
Coming out of Warlords of Draenor, warriors and paladins were the two most desired, just because of how much self-healing paladins did, and they did a fair bit of damage, not great, but with the damage output of warriors even topping brewmaster monks because of the nerfs on them, and the how strong shield barrier was, and the fact that you could spam it made guard look almost silly. So the damage reduction and damage of warriors, and then the damage reduction and self-healing of paladins made them the go-to pair for progression rating for Siege of Orgrimmar. Mm-hmm. And in beta, most of those were holding to be true. Paladins were falling a little bit, but warriors were still far and ahead. When they did the overall tank squish, I guess you could call it, warriors got hit the hardest. They got hit in the middle. Well, maybe they weren't hit the hardest. Druids were really hit super hard. They're just struggling right now, and it's something that needs to be addressed, but Blizzard just seems to be kind of skirting the bounds of it. They're fixing little things, but they're not really fixing it. But monks were kind of being left behind. They were weak early, just like they were in Mists of Pandaria, but with the way the gear scaling and everything came out, they became super strong pretty quick, and then became almost incredibly overpowered to the point where they had to nerf their damage 2 or 3 times at the beginning of Siege of Orgrimmar just to keep them from just demolishing every single DPS, and that was ridiculous. But that was part of the problem with Vengeance, which they did fix. Going into I've been saying Warlords of Draenor. I was Mists of Pandaria. Going into Warlords of Draenor now, monks were kind of feeling a little light. And so what they did right before raiding started is they buffed base stagger another 10%.
Yeah.
And they, doubled the value. It was doubled or quadrupled the value of guard. And so they became unstoppable in terms of physical damage with the best magic damage reduction, the best baseline physical damage reduction. Mm-hmm. It's just ridiculous how much they can survive from. And then going into Blackrock Foundry, which is a heavily physical sourced damage, they're just not getting hit to the levels, and they're able to survive much.
See, that's awesome, because I decided that despite all the naysaying and woes and poor monks and they're terrible and everything, I decided that despite all that, that got me into Warlords, I was still going to play my monk. And then right before Heimal happens, they're like, oh, never mind. Monks are awesome.
Well, they were going to be average. And then, you know, as the expansion progressed, they were going to be really strong. And everybody could see that, at least in the monk meditation and the Peaks of Serenity group. You could see that was going to happen. So nobody was too upset. You know, yeah, they were like, oh, bummer, we're not going to be overpowered. Oh, but when that buff came out, all of us just looked at them like, what are they doing? But, you know, as it is, and we're like, oh, well, I'm just going to, you know, watch the tears roll when they nerf us. And we see 6.1 coming along, and they just make Elusive Brew highlight when you get 15 stacks.
Right.
That's the only change. So, obviously, they see nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm. Most of us don't care about that anyways, because we have weak auras already, and yeah.
So, it's interesting to see how... right now, they're just letting monk tanks be as they are.
I don't expect any nerfs, though. Like, I mean, I don't know any better, but I don't know.
Guard is so strong. It's too strong. And no, Stagger is ridiculously strong. I'll shake my weight wet noodle shield barrier at you.
Now, when will you be going Brewmaster?
If I did that, I would be going... relatively shortly, but I still have to finish leveling her. She's at 97 right now and needs to finish up, and then of course need a couple runs through to get some gear and mm-hmm. be capable. So it'd be a couple weeks, but honestly, I would prefer taking on my warrior. I just like the sword and board kind of mm-hmm. style. But you know, I talk with the monk group all the time, so it's a role that I could step into, and if progression and the guild really needs it, it's something I would do without a problem. Because it's fun. It's just, I don't know. I was kind of getting sick of being a leather tank, as odd as that sounds.
It's weird. It's definitely weird, because I feel like, I mean, it works with the whole, like, shuffle, stagger, drunken monk kind of thing going on. But, yeah, it is kind of weird. Because at least with, like, druids, you've got the shape-shifting thing, and that's supposed to make sense. But, mm-hmm. yeah, I don't know. It's, if they weren't so dang good.
Right. Well, so did we do advanced tips and tricks yet? Did I miss it? No?
We've been sprinkling it in this whole time, I think.
But. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have anything in particular, any pro tips that...
Make sure you use Intervene. Make sure you're using Vigilance. It's easy to talent into Vigilance and never touch it because you can't use it on yourself. So it's being proactive and using it on other people's. As I said, Kotanks love that spell. 30% reduction right. is no joke. But Intervene is something that you don't think about using. It's a quick way to move around. I want to say
Intervene is awesome, man. That's like another, it's another charge, really.
It is effectively another charge. And it does, you know, take the next damaging attack from them. Which, you know, you gotta be careful that you don't intervene your tank when they're taking a huge hit. But if you intervene a melee, it's a way to get back into the group without at being at risk of killing yourself again or taking a huge damage spike. So, things to worry about. I mean, it's something I remember, you know, fighting Heroic Lich King and watching my friend, who was a warrior tank at the time, intervening over a defile to get out of Valkyr or something like that. It was ridiculous. He was the god of warriors, but I am merely just a pawn compared to him.
Your shoulders are strong. You've carried many.
I've learned well.
It's cool to see somebody who really just knows what they're doing and is definitely kicking butt. And that was really neat, the being able to have you come with us just on even on a normal motorade. I know it's a lot of it's just outgearing the content, but.
Oh, for sure. It was fun, and I like helping out groups. It's what I always did on my old server, and can't do that so much on Bleeding Hollow. There's quite too many people, but it's nice to get a look at that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, where are we at?
6.1.
Yeah.
6.1.
So you probably get more than just a button that lights up now, right?
Yeah, they're changing a few things. I guess the first one is it's a passive. It's improving defensive stance by 5% going from 5% additional armor to 10% additional armor. It will help with the physical damage. Warriors had been falling down on the list. As I said, Brewmaster and DK are the top two. Paladin is pretty good. Warrior had been falling down the list, so they're kind of giving them an edge. And with that, shield barrier was silly, so they increased the coefficient to increase the base absorb by 24.4%. So that should help a little bit. We'll see. Maybe I'll see consistent numbers over 100k for those absorbs. But with 250% resolve, max resolve, 120k shield, I'm like, oh, okay. That lasted half a melee.
Yeah, so, that's always the way it goes, huh?
An inconsequential change is Thunderclap Snare increases to 10 seconds from 8 seconds. Nothing you're ever going to notice, mm-hmm. but there it is, in case you have to kite something. You have 2 more seconds until you're dead. execute damage has been reduced. It's more for the melee DPS, the DPS classes. But if you choose the talent, Sudden Death, you will see a reduce in damage because of that. Not anything that I would personally suggest using, so most people see a change. The biggest change, I think, in terms of talents is Avatar. In 6.1, which is actually next week now, mm-hmm. I think,
Yeah, Tuesday.
They're changing. It's going from, right now it's a 3-minute cooldown. That's 24 seconds of 20% damage increase. They're changing it to 1.5-minute cooldown, but it's only 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I did quit semi-napkin math, and it goes, it becomes a 26.7% increase, just standing alone in terms of damage over the course of the cooldown that it lasts. Bloodbath, on the other hand, is 26%. So they're almost even. I will probably, again, stick mostly to Bloodbath just because of how it lines up identically with Dragon's Roar and does the AoE and all sorts of goodness. But Avatar is it's a solid choice now, and so if you're really min-maxing, that would be the talent to go to.
It's just nice to have the options, at least.
It is.
Because when you feel like, here, I've got these tiers with these different talents, but I can choose that one. That's it. That's all I can choose. It's just kind of like it doesn't matter mm-hmm. what choices there are.
Oh, that's something that a lot of classes are seeing, and I'm glad they're going through and kind of picking talents and changing them so that it does become a choice.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have that issue sometimes, and so they are also changing Second Wind to be instead of 10% leech to 25% leech. But again, it's only active below 35% health, and even as a tank, that's really dangerous. And if you're getting below there constantly, you're
time
not
to hire new healers.
and possibly, well, possibly time to hire your own, you know, fix up yourself, because there's a lot of times that you don't need to be below 35% mm-hmm. that you can prevent. So it's of course a mix on that, but being only active below 35%, and not for a time after you've hit 35%, makes it less usable.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to be below that threshold anyways, then why take a talent that is counting on you being below the threshold?
Oh, for sure. At least, you know, at least you get full use out of Enrage Regen when you're at 70% health in a much, much more stable range.
Yeah. Well.
All right. Well, I see we have a question here.
Is that Rob's question?
No. That's my question.
No? That's your question.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Hend is an educated man.
Oh, yes. Yes, exactly. Very. So, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, we are 6 of 7 when you're tanking, and we're 5 of 7 when you're not tanking. Unfortunately, you've only tanked for us one time, so we've only killed Korag one time. And also noted on that particular fight, it was basically single tanked. So
I think I died early on, and I died twice.
Yes,
yeah, you died twice.
I died hard, and I died again after that.
I still don't understand it. But
I killed still. Well, okay. So honestly, that was my. Well, that was our first time seeing that fight. So
I'm yeah. So I don't really blame.
Well, blame.
Like
you can blame.
Well, I guess you can blame you. But
this is a safe zone, but it's not a blame-free zone.
No. Yes. So anyway, the issue we're having, or we appear to be having, is the ads. And the ads are dying outside the void zones, and of course it's wiping us, which is what happens. We understand that they need to be in the void zones. So the question is, how do we get them in the void zones? Like, how does one single tank round them all up, or how do the tanks round them all up to get them in there? What do we need to do? Fix us, please.
I'll tell you one thing that has to do with our AoE going on as soon as the ads spawn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're going to move them and you need to, and you're having problems rounding them up. Honestly, anybody that is putting out any AoE spells is just being a detriment to the raid, and just kick them from the group.
Kick them.
Everybody,
okay.
Everybody loves the pretty numbers, but if you're killing the raid, what does the pretty numbers mean? You're dead 20 seconds later, so your pretty numbers mean nothing. And that's something that, you know, as far as progression goes. You like to rank, but if the boss doesn't die, you don't rank. So
we're not ranking anyway, really. Our group isn't ranked.
No, we're rank all right.
None of the DPS are hitting them because it's not worth it. Now, personally, my guild, we just said, forget it. Let's line up healing cooldowns and just, you know, push through this thing. And so we would come out and we would tank them right underneath this guy, and we would just blow them up as soon as they spawned. You have to have really strong healers, and you have to monitor cooldowns when you do that.
We're screwed.
Personally, I would say for you guys, you know, having Rob there as the monk tank is, again, nobody should be hitting it. And if you put Dave out there, the statue, and then when Dave dies, if you've been smashing with Dizzying Haze, what you can do is just kite them over to the pools, and then what's the Warlock AoE stun that you can do?
You know what? You mentioned it. You mentioned it, and I'm like, I have an AoE stun? Really?
I was waiting for
you know what I did? I went and looked for it. Shadow Fury. I'm not specced into Shadow it, Fury. But it's Shadow Fury.
Yes, that's the...
oh, my gosh.
Pull them all over and tank type them right into there as a single group, Shadow Fury them, and everybody turns, especially the range, and just blows them up. They die instantly. But you have to wait until they get there. Now, if you're tanking them, like if you're physically tanking them, they do start to do a lot of damage. And so at towards the end, you really need to, you know, have healers watch the tanks or have tanking cooldowns put up just to reduce that damage incoming. That would be, I would say that's a good point to use Ravager as a warrior if you are tanking them. But for the most part, you don't want to kill them if you're not tanking there. I guess the benefit as a warrior is you can pop out Mocking Banner right where they spawn and then, you know, stand over yonder at the pool, and they'll just be taunted and run straight over to you. If nobody's hitting them, they just kind of come right over to you, and then you can have the range turn over in two waves and just blow them up, and no problem. Unfortunately, that only works for every other wave, so unless you have either another gladiator DPS warrior or another prop warrior, you can't line up those mocking banners. So at one point, you will just have to pick them up manually, tank them, and then, you know, when, as the last couple add waves are spawning, just make sure you have somebody focusing you with heals and extra.
So it is possible, really, to just say, screw this, we're just going to heal through it, especially on normal.
Especially on normal, it is, but you do have to line things up. On normal, I think it's the arcane. No, not the arcane. The one where he puts the healing debuff, the healing absorb on you.
So there's fire, and then there's arcane.
Arcane's the tank thing.
And then fire's just the spread out melee one.
Spread out. There's the frost, which is the orb of slow, and then there's the other one, and I can't think of it.
Fell from under. There's other.
Yeah.
La. Looking it up.
Okay. Yeah, but you.
Shadow. That's what it is. And if you don't need to save cooldowns for that, if your healers can be proactive and really, or realize who needs healing during that phase, you can make it work and use the healing cooldowns during the adds, but that's more of a brute force kind of way to do it. Again, possible, but not personally, I wouldn't suggest it.
Not likely with our group.
I think you can do it. Take a lot more work. Yeah, that
you've seen our group. You know
there's potential there.
You know
You just gotta make it work. But honestly, it's just going to be making sure people aren't AoEing too early, because that will kill your group. The numbers aren't worth it.
All right.
I agree, and I knew it, especially this last week, man, when I was doing every effing thing I could to try and round up those ads, and it was like, there was just nothing. Like, it was hopeless. Like, I was dizzying haze. I was had the statue down. I was spin kicking. I'm like, I can't even. This isn't even right. There's no way. So,
no.
Even a brewmaster monk can only do so much.
Such as Netheril Nazgrim.
You know, I can do it.
All right. So, are we good with protection warriors then?
I think so.
I think so.
Okay. Did you have anything else that maybe, I mean, you left some pretty awesome notes here. Did anything else that people probably ought to know?
I've covered everything I can think of, but, you know, I don't know if there's something I haven't thought of. It's very possible. I don't think of everything.
Well, all right.
Okay, well, we got some notes here, so I guess we'll do this.
Okay.
Don't try to tank in healing gear.
Unclaimed mail will be deleted after 30 days.
Always check your loot spec before a boss fight.
Things I learned the hard way.
General Nazgrim, what did you learn the hard way there?
So, we're going through on my little raiding guild on my monk, and we're laughing and talking about how I'm unkillable and having a good old grand time. Going through on my monk and hit heroic Nazgrim. And he was in a berserker stance and had an execute. And I decided that I didn't need a cooldown. Of course, I went splat and just instantly died. And silence came over the whole... I think we're using TeamSpeak. The voice chat was silent. And then bursting in laughter at how I just... died instantly. Of course, I made a clip of it and was like, you know, this is how you kill a monk tank. Someone that's stupid enough not to have a cooldown up for, you know, a 5 million hit or something, whatever it does. Oh, ridiculous. Nice. And it had just barely overkilled awesome. Me, and I think I wasn't topped off. But still, it's just like, oops. Use your cooldowns. They're very helpful. Dampen harm. Has a use.
Nice.
Well, Rob? I learned. It's not like super awesome, because normally I have some ridiculous failure, but I did learn that I keep talking about how like I don't have enough followers, so I can't get that my war mill up to level 3 to mm-hmm. I can get the free seal and all that stuff. And somebody was like, well, why aren't you getting the free ones? Don't you have the inn or the whatever the heck it's called?
The tavern.
Yeah. And they're like, why aren't you getting your free ones from there? I'm like, what are you talking about? And I walked in there and there's this troll lady just sitting in there with a quest over her head. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't want more quests, dude. Because all they do is they tell you to go do dungeons. I'm like, screw that. I don't want that. And they're like, no, talk to her. Just talk to the troll lady. So I talked to her and she's like, I've got some followers here for you if you'd like to have some. Here, pick and choose whichever ones you want. Here you go. Have a nice day. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And this whole time I'm like, oh, I don't have enough followers. Poor me. Oh, this is the worst thing ever. Garrisons are so terrible. Nerf garrisons. Get rid of it. You know, and like, and there it is the whole time, just like staring me in the face. I'm like, yep, sounds about right.
Womp womp.
So, yep, I learned that the hard way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure I've got something, but I can never think of it on this.
Make sure your pet is not passive.
Yeah, but that's old news. That's old. I did that a while ago. I confessed to that a while ago. What do I got? I don't know. I can't think of anything.
Ever since our Warlock episode, you upped your game. So
I did. Okay. I did.
Hey, got to learn somewhere.
Self-serving.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I got nothing. I'm bowing out this week. I got nothing. I'm sure there's something. I'll think of it when we're done.
Sometimes you just gotta let other people suck.
Exactly. There you go. All right.
Let's probably leave that right.
Yeah, let's carry on. Hey, don't matter that you're out of town. He's got some shutters to send over. I still love that song.
So do you listen to it while you're driving to work?
No, I don't, but I should, because every time we record and I hear it again, I play it. It just brings a big smile.
So when you go to work and people call you by your actual name, is it like, do you ever wish, do you tell people at work that you'd call you Hand or?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. You don't offer hand love at work?
No, I do not offer hand love at work. Not at all. All right. So I'm going to send some hand love tonight to our guildies, the Horderlies on the Deathwing server. Our raid team, Team Crab Dick. We will get Coreg on Friday this week. Yeah, I almost forgot what day we raided. Fridays. It's the same every week.
It hasn't changed in
It hasn't changed in like 8 years. Gonna send some hand love as well to Catalyst Gaming Media, our media group that we're a part of, and as well, I have to send some hand love to Allie for coming on the show this evening and talking all about Protection Warriors. I think I actually learned something. which is great. Warlocks? Warlocks. Oh. Yes. I learned that warlocks have an AoE stun. See?
It takes a hot word to tell you.
Exactly. Oh, that was awesome.
It was all worth it just for that.
Totally worth it. I'm so going to use that on Korag, too. It's like, oh, man, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Okay, Rob, what do you got?
Ali, thanks for coming on. Thanks for for carrying us and putting up with us and helping us out and at least in helping initiate that conversation with me for the to help get some of my woes straightened out, because that's going to lead to our episode next week, I believe.
Yeah,
we'll be doing Brewmasters with Dagger.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm really excited about that. But this was awesome because, I don't know, I never really, up until I started tanking, I was never like, oh, I'm a tank. But, like, I mean, once you get into it, it kind of gets in your blood, you know?
It's a lot of fun being smacked around every day. Bam!
And, of course, the people on Twitter who I passively, aggressively have conversations with, and we can all argue about whether or not we think you should be able to equip more than 3 pieces of crafted gear or not. So, yeah. Ali, how about you?
Just friends on Twitter and guildies and predestined on Bleeding Hollow. And, of course, the monk friends that I made over in Peak of Serenity in the IRC and Monk Meditation. Sorry to post another podcast, but they're great people. Love them.
You're mentioning monks a lot.
I do.
I think that just speaks for itself.
It does.
Right.
They're great people. A lot of fun. Very welcoming.
Yeah, they
except
are.
Except Nasuvius, but he's, kind of infiltrating in on the monk group anyway, so.
Well, the great thing about this, at least the way that we approach this community, is that it's not a contest. So if there's another podcast or another group out there that is doing well or bringing some value to the community, we welcome it.
Cool.
Where are we at here?
I think we're green, wrapping this up, dude.
Oh, yeah. That is green font. you would think we've never done this before. But I guess that wraps up this episode of The Training Dummies. Ali, would you like to let everybody know where they can reach you, follow you, like you, intervene you, and let you?
I'm on Twitter at Aleva, Allayva. Or you can find me pretty much every weekday hanging out in the Peak of Serenity, IRC chat. Either talking about tank things or monk things or just shooting the bull.
Yes.
All right. Well, I guess episode 83 of The Training Dummies has come to a close. You can find the show on iTunes and Stitcher, so please consider giving us a review, good, bad, or otherwise. We haven't had one since the Sleppy Muppet review. Just say it. You can follow our Twitter. That is at Training Dummies. Rob is at Rob Copeland. Myself, Hend at Hend_Horderlies. And Kim at Kim with a Y Scally.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo!